We take this opportunity to welcome you back to Cape Town. You are almost residents because last week you were around. Welcome back, and in this lovely weather of Cape Town today. We have this agenda in front of us. Katri will take us through the apologies before we can give Danelle to give us the briefing on the annual reports and the financials.
Thank you, Chairperson. The apologies we received is from Mr. Singh and Mr. Kwankwa. They are attending the lock-up meeting with the Minister of Finance. They join the briefing and those are the two chief whips who I know that they're part of the particular meeting. And the Minister of Public Enterprises also submitted a formal written apology.
Thank you very much.
The secretary of the committee, without wasting much time, can I invite the chairperson of the Danelle board to take us through their annual report, and then also included in that will be their financial statement for 2015-16. Over to you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson, Honourable Members of Parliament, and the Acting Chief Executive Danelle and the Acting CFO Danelle, and delegation from Department of Public Enterprise. I'm going to ask the Acting Chief Executive to take the first part of the presentation, and the Acting CFO will take the second part of the presentation, which deals mainly with the financial report. But from the board point of view, we want to record our sincere thanks and gratitude for your oversight role as members of Parliament, the assistance that and the wisdom that we always get from you each time we interact. And we believe that if we continue with the positive engagement as we have been having, it will only serve to strengthen the state-owned companies in this particular Danelle. As you know, Danelle exists, amongst other things, to ensure that our armed forces have got sovereign capabilities and strategic independence. And for Danelle to achieve that, as Danelle is a commercially driven company, it has to generate revenue. And the executives will take you through some of the strategies in place to make sure that as much as we have to fulfill our primary reason of existence, which is to maintain and make sure that our armed forces has got sovereign capabilities in order to defend our borders. As you know, it can only be a democracy as long as you have got military to protect that democracy. And this is a special role that we play as Danelle. And as you also recall that in 2014, honorable members have adopted a defense review which identified Danelle as a national security asset. For reasons which I've elaborated above. So without taking much of your time, I will then hand over to the Acting Chief Executive Officer, Danelle, Mr. Nsepe, to take you through the first part of the report. Thank you, Chairperson and members.
Good morning, and thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Good morning, Honourable members of the Portfolio Committee. I think our visit in coming to the Portfolio Committee is actually it's helping us a lot, because we can now and again see the areas whereby we have to strengthen our performances. So we are very honored for us to be here today and to give you just a summary of the annual report, which we believe you would have got by now. If you look at the presentation that we have on the on your hand, which was sent to you before, on page 2, it consists of the contents whereby we will talk about the overview of Danelle. I think most of the honourable members, if not all, know exactly what Danelle does and where Danelle's niche markets are in terms of the role of Danelle in the civil society, the strategy of Danelle, and the financial performance. We will do that, and then we will therefore, after that, we will do the human resources and transformation, and talk about the supply chain and the challenges that we have and what we are trying to do to improve those, and the CSI and the environmental impact of what we produce, and then the conclusion. If you go to the overview, we always ask ourselves, why Danelle? Why is Danelle important to the civil society of South Africa, to the people of South Africa? There are a few reasons. One of them, the chairperson has already outlined, that it's critical for us to protect our economy. It's also critical for us to be able to protect the people of South Africa in terms of being able to supply the systems that will be used by our own defense force. And 90%, if not more, of the systems that Danelle produces, they go to the defense force, and they have had successes in the peacekeeping missions, especially in the DRC, also in Sudan. It's also important to understand that Danelle plays a critical role in the transformation of the Republic of South African society in terms of understanding the manufacturing sectors, in terms of understanding the role that the military contractor does and the need for such a company in a country. We also contribute to the NDP, National Development Program 2030 objectives in terms of the manufacturing sector, especially in making sure that we develop the skills and we are able to create jobs for young people and infuse those young people into now, for them to be able to take Danelle in the next few years and take it forward. I've mentioned the issue of sovereign security equipment, whereby we do not need to depend on anybody. If a country depends on other countries for their own security, then the country is not very strong. There's a link between the performance of the economy and the performance of the military in countries that are successful. But we cannot keep Danelle as is right now. Danelle has to grow. And for us to be able to do that, we have to go out and get markets outside. We have to be able to make sure, because we are competing with global players in defense. So it is not easy for us to just get critical mass injection of revenue. We have to go out, and for each and every penny, we have to market for it. However, also, it's very important for Danelle to be self-sustainable, not to depend on the fiscus. And I think in the last few years, we have proven that we are striving towards that. One of the key issues, the success of Danelle, as I said, is a key supply chain to our own defense runs through AMSCO. And about 80% of AMSCO's contracts depend on Danelle. So Danelle has to be successful to be able to make the Defense Force of South Africa very successful. However, the challenges are still there. The competition, we compete like any other company, a defense company in South Africa. So we will go out and we do not enjoy a privileged position. We will go out and do a hard competition to be able for us to win local opportunities. Of course, in the international market, of course, we will compete. We'll compete with the Americans, we'll compete with the Russians, we'll compete with everybody, and even the Israelis, who are very, very, very strong out there in the market. And many countries whereby we are selling our products, you would find that there are very strong Israeli presence in those markets. The cyclical nature of our business makes it that we can only predict for the next 5 years. if we, as you would see in terms of our business plan, because this business is cyclical. If we do not want, nobody wants war in the world. However, it is important to understand that things like that are human nature and they do happen. And countries have to be able to prepare and to be able to defend their countries. So it is important for us to be able to understand the issue of saying that the business is cyclical. You would find in certain years we will succeed very well, and then in certain years we will struggle. So we have to be able to find a substitute in terms of the be able to keep the nation sustainable. If you go to the next page, just the evolution, we currently are standing 2015-16 at the revenue of about 8.2 billion. There was an increase, as you have seen, from 5 billion to about 8 billion, and I think this bodes well for Denel. What is important here, we wanted to highlight the youth infusion in Denel. In 15-16, we had about 28%. However, going forward, I think this number is increasing. In fact, right now, I think for 16-17, we're standing at 31%. And then the value to the economy, we are creating materials and services in the economy, salaries for the people who work for Denel, and then we also pay interest to the providers of capital. And there has to be, of course, some monies left for us to be able to grow and be able to give on our products. If you look on the slide also, on the right-hand side, you will see that, that the projection that we will be growing. And never have I seen and implemented a plan like this whereby all the time moving forward, companies say they will grow. But this time, in Denel's case, it is very true. Denel at a glance has about 7,000 employees, including the associated companies, which have about 2,000 employees. But the Denel core has about 5,000 employees. We have about 3,000 engineers, scientists, and technicians. As I have said, the annual turnover on this report is about 8.2 billion, and we've increased our exports to about 58%, which bodes well for us, so that we are not only dependent on the South African Defense Force in moving forward. And there were about around 12 plants around the country. It is the largest defense manufacturer in the country, and with an experienced team of engineers and scientists, and we also have the experience in supplying and supporting of equipment around the world. So it's not only in South Africa, but around the world. If you go to the next page, you would find then that the structure, as you might have seen before, is that we report to the Ministry of Public Enterprises, although we have a very strong relationship with the Ministry of Defense, in particular Department of Defense. It is our key, we are a key supplier to them, so it's very, very important for us to work very closely with them. What is important also to show on the slide is that areas of growth which we are looking at this point in time is Denel Aviation, which is growing with new opportunities, integrated systems, which is growing, and Denel vehicle systems that is growing. But basically the structure actually also shows you the business model of Denel, whereby we're using associated companies coming from with overseas companies, whereby it is a strategy whereby we will be able to get into those countries and partner with their countries to be able to get into those markets. We have Airbus Defense, and we have IGG, etc., which are foreign companies, but we are able to enter those markets because we have formed some type of an associated company, and that strategy has proven to be very successful. The facilities, I'm sure some of the members have been to Denel. They are concentrated largely in the Gauteng region, some in the northwest, and some in this area. This is historical, so it's a legacy issue, and we are still structured with that. and I'm sure you will understand why it is concentrated in the Gauteng region. And then the other thing that is important is to note that the Offerberg test range in the Eastern Cape is under threat, although it's a very successful company, small company in the Western Cape, yes, has a risk of oil exploration. So we have that threat at this point in time, but that facility could might not be used in the future, and that will jeopardize and cripple the ability to do flight tests for our missiles and also for the Air Force. So it's a concern. We've written to the Department of Energy, and we still haven't got a response yet. Getting to the strategy of DENEL, I think what is important is the mandate of DENEL. As I have said, that we are a strategic partner to the Department of Defense, but not only Department of Defense, but all the cluster of the security. We contribute. It's very important to understand that manufacturing is very important in South Africa. We used to be a company that depends on commodities, but now a country, but now we are moving towards manufacturing. And for the next many years, manufacturing, those countries that are successful, they have a strong manufacturing base, and TENEL is a contributor to that. We have to increase the sales. We have to increase our portfolio, product portfolio, because not only are we now concentrating on the Department of Defense, but also on all security clusters, including the police and others, even including cybersecurity. The challenge currently is liquidity in TENEL. Although we are making profits are not the bankable profits you would think we have at this point in time. Therefore, we have funds whereby TENEL needs about $500 million a month to operate. So we need to be able to cover that amount of money every month to be able to operate efficiently. So liquidity is a serious point, and we're using private funders. We are using operational inflow of revenue, etc., to be able to ameliorate that problem. One of the key areas which has been a problem in DENEL is because DENEL really was a design house for many years, and then they outsourced the factories. And it is the issue of time and on cost deliveries. If you are able to deliver on time and at the right cost and at the right quality, you'll be able to get your money. So we have challenges. Sometimes the challenges are not made by us, but by the client. You find that the clients internationally might have moved their programs to the right. So you find that we are not able to deliver, although we do deliver, but we are not able to get our money on time. Social economic objectives are very important. As I said, skills training, the upliftment of society, and also the understanding of DENEL by the youth, because this company in the near future will be run by the young people today. And they will have to make sure that the standards don't drop but increase. We comply to all policies locally and internationally, and we comply to all treaties locally and internationally that affect this type of business as a defense contractor. And even including also in the countries whereby we do the business in. It is important also to do a review of the integrated report, as my CFO will be getting into the report itself. I've spoken about strong alignments with groups, especially in our local environment, like AMSCO, with government departments, and it's very, very important for us to be able to have those relationships, so that we can be able to, when we have problems, so we're able to discuss at length, and also they understand where we're coming from. Stakeholder relationships, it's one of our key success factors. And we have proven that when we have the AAD exhibition show about last month, and it went very well. And in fact, if some of you were there at the AAD show, it was there. The DENEL stand was buzzing all the time. The pipeline is the opportunity pipeline. We have to monitor the pipeline very strongly, and we have to make sure that every penny that we spend in going out to do marketing is directed to the right area. We cannot just sell to everybody all over the world. By that I mean every defense country or military all over the world. As I said, on time and delivery is very, very important. If we are not able to conquer this area, we will always be in problems in denial. We have strengthened this area. We have a monthly and weekly assessment of how far we have moved, and we have made sure that we get a very experienced individual in these areas of managing this type of cost and on-time delivery and at the right quality. I have spoken about the financial situation of Danel. One of the challenges is that we are a government department, although we structured it as a profitable entity. However, it's creating a problem for us to be offering guarantees to another government department in terms of bank guarantees. It limits our ability to be able to sell our products because they look at our balance sheet, the banks, for them to be able to give us those guarantees. We are negotiating with clients internationally also to be able to say that can they be able to accept corporate guarantees instead of bank guarantees. Working capital is an issue, and we are striving towards working capital is an issue, and we're striving towards making it a better management, and we are looking also at alternative sources of funding. I think you have seen the slide in terms of the NAL strategy. Key issues on the drivers of the strategy. What drives the strategy? Customers, the stakeholders, and the relationships. And this is really meant to make sure that we have a long-term order book. We have to increase our productivity, efficiency, and profitability. And we have to enhance capability and foster innovation. And as you see also, that why we've chosen these drivers, because there are these other objectives that we are striving to reach, you know, strategic partnership, increasing order book, etc., and strengthening relationship with our customers. And I think if my chairman allows me, I will ask my CFO to continue from here as part of the report for the financial situation of Danel. Thank you.
Thank you very much, my group CE. Chairperson, members of the committee, my colleagues from DPE, my chairperson of Danel Board, I also greet you this morning. Chairperson, just starting from this particular one, I think the key issue that we are trying to drive home on this particular one is the issue that talks to the key fundamentals within the Danel business, which we are extremely convinced that are in place and are driving the results that which we see. Since 2012, we have essentially seen uninterrupted growth up to where we are today, and I think that ought to be celebrated. So in other words, as we complain about certain elements of our business which needs attention, the business and its fundamentals are firmly on the ground, and the results are very clearly showing that that particular element. On the second slide, Chairperson, we work off a performance contract which we refer to as a shareholder compact with our shareholder, the Department of DPE, which on an annual basis we have certain targets that are set for us to achieve, and this typically talks to the KPIs which were expected of us to achieve in the financial year 2015-16. As you see, all the greens that you see in there are areas where Danel has actually performed and in many instances surpassed the expectation of our shareholder. And I think that's something we really need to ponder on, and we appreciate that. These targets are definitely not soft targets. They are actually tough targets in many instances, and we work throughout with our employees within the business to ensure that we deliver that which we are supposed to deliver. It is very clear from this particular slide, Chairperson, and I will come back to it in the following slide, that there is three elements where we certainly did fall below what we were expected to achieve. If we get to those that which we didn't perform so well on, and that's on the following slide, the first one, Chairperson, is on the research and development. And I just need to position it categorically clear, Chairperson, that a perception that DINEL is not investing on its future as we were unable to achieve this particular target is definitely not a correct perception. We were targeted to achieve a 3% of turnover on the basis of a turnover which was budgeted at 5.6 billion. We ended up with 8.2 billion. So for us to fast track our expenditure from that 5.6 billion level to 8.2 would have been completely unrealistic, and would have typically been throwing good money at unplanned proper processes within our research and development and innovation space. We are of the opinion that we spent sufficiently, albeit that we didn't meet the target. We spent in excess for this particular financial year, we spent in excess of 550 million South African rand on research and development. But even with that huge sum of money, we were unable to hit the 3%. So all I'm trying to say, Chairperson, is we didn't hit the target, but we certainly made substantive investments into our future. We obviously have relooked at these targets going forward to ensure that we set realistic targets as we move ahead. The women as a percentage of total appointments, Chairperson, in this particular line, certainly we didn't achieve the target that which was set for us, but I just want to put it categorically clear that DINEL, in as far as this particular issue, is focused on two areas. Area number one is the normal attrition of our employees as people resign and we replace those people. And area number two is that in excess of 800 of our staff are actually sitting at an age category of 56 years and above. And we are certainly targeting those two elements to drive this particular imperative. In fact, as we speak, in excess of 80% of all of our appointments are in the ACI space, and as we speak today, we are actually already at about 40% of those being females. So we couldn't achieve this particular target, but we certainly have made corrective actions to try and address this issue, and as we speak today, we are on target to achieving our targets for this new financial year. The DTA Technical Academy target, this academy, Chairperson, its full capacity in terms of intake in any particular year is 350 learners. And our target for the financial year that ended in March 2016 was for 350 learners to be in that academy. We couldn't achieve that. We ended up at 213 learners in that academy, Chairperson. And part of the biggest issue that we experienced there is that in the prior years where we were able to achieve that level of learners and intake into the academy, we were backed up by learners from the African region that came through to the academy, which assisted us to achieve the 350, and we didn't see that coming through in 2015-16. So we certainly are addressing this issue, looking at alternative sources of funding, because we actually rely on the African region because they actually pay and subsidize even the South African students that we are putting through, the 213 students that we are putting through the academy from South Africa. So we are obviously now relooking at this and trying to seek alternative sources of funding. So in short, Chairperson, we think we have performed relatively well for this financial year in terms of the targets that we needed to achieve. On the integrated report, Chairperson, I will quickly fly on to slide 19. Chairperson and the members of the committee, allow us to, lack of a better word to say, as DINEL, we are extremely proud of the performance that which we have achieved under very difficult circumstances in the financial year 2015-16. This is a clear indication, Chairperson, that, as I mentioned earlier, that the key business fundamentals within DINEL are definitely in place. What are those key fundamental business fundamentals that I talk to? First and foremost, you will not achieve this kind of performance without strong leadership. And I think we need to be very clear about that. It is thanks to the leadership, right from the shareholder department into the board, into the leadership of the organization, that we're able to achieve this particular performance. The second one is strict governance regime. We will never be able to achieve this kind of performance in the kind of business we operate in, which is highly sensitive, without a strict governance regime. And our business model, as you know, I think, is firmly set up to achieve this kind of performance with the exposure and the initiatives that we put in place in securing business from our overseas customers, and instead of relying on the local environment. The numbers are speaking for themselves, Chairperson. All I can do is really brag on these particular numbers, and I will save the committee on that particular issue. If we get to the following slide, Chairperson, that gives you an idea of where we're trying to get to. We have been relatively successful up to date. We are clear in our minds where we want to take the business into, and that talks to that five-year corporate plan. This is extremely important, Chairperson, to know two issues that I just want to drive home on this particular slide. My CE referred to this quite early in the presentation, that for us to be able to make meaningful impact in transforming the South African society, as well as contributing towards the NDP objectives, we ought to grow the pie. It's very clear to us that if we are not growing this pie, if we are stagnant, we will not see the aggressive changes that we want to see in the environment. So our focus is really on growing this pie. And that's what we are seeing there. That's the first point that we are trying to drive home. The second point, Chairperson, which is absolutely important, is that we are unfortunately operating in a highly cyclical business. This business, I always compare it, it's a typical business comparable to construction industry. Lumpy contracts that will not necessarily follow a seamless pattern. So you will have great success cycles, and you will have cycles where you are in between successes, in other words, securing the next wave of success. What we are trying to do in the business is to work towards creating some form of seamless link between two cycles of successes in the business. And I think our business model is supporting that quite fundamentally, between what we refer to as new build business as well as support business. So we have a base in our support business which will give us the bridge between two successes while we try to sell in the new build space. So that's what really we work through within the business in this particular side. This particular one, Chairperson, two things that I really want to draw out of this particular one. The first one is efficiencies within the business. So in other words, we are never satisfied with where we are. We are always striving to improve what we do as we move along. And these numbers are essentially talking to that. So if you look at efficiencies within the way we convert raw material into deliverables, talking to the gross profit line, we are steadily improving. In fact, we are extremely unhappy with the 20.3%. We have initiatives within the business that are specifically aimed at seeing that number growing even further as we move along. So if you look at the trend of those numbers, it's talking to an improvement in the efficiencies within the business. But there is, Chairperson, one element that I must highlight in this particular slide that is not following the same trend. So in other words, it's not going an improvement trend, and it's a point of worry within our business. And my group CEO was talking to that. So if you look at our debt equity ratio, so over the last 3 years, it's sort of been stagnant at about 1.1, 1.3% in 2012, 2013. It jumped up to 1.6%. What that number says is our reliance on debt versus funding ability, that which we generate ourselves, is going the wrong direction. That's what that is talking to. And that's the point that my CE was talking to, saying funding and liquidity is a point of concern within our business. Now, this must obviously be taken in context, Shepherd, in that you've got a business whose fundamentals are firmly in place, growing, making the necessary contributions to our key fundamentals as a country, but it requires to be funded appropriately. To grow a business by 41% without any funding from your owner is always going to be a challenge, and that's what we are grappling with within the business on an ongoing basis. And the more we increase debt, the more interest we pay. In fact, as a matter of fact, Jefferson, within this financial year, we paid in excess of 300 million just on interest. And that's obviously a cause for concern within our environment. So those are the two things that I really wanted to touch on this particular slide, Jefferson. If you allow me, Chairperson, to get onto this irregular expenditure slide. On this particular one, Chairperson, one key element that's coming out of this is we acquired a business privately owned by British conglomerate EA Systems, which became part of us in April 2015. Now, obviously, this business operated in a regime that was not aligned with our Triple P Act in terms of preferential procurement, PFMA Act that governs state-owned enterprises. So for us to get that business in line with those pieces of legislation would obviously have taken some time. And we have now established processes within that business to ensure that they comply. But we couldn't have done it as quick as before the start of this particular financial. And as such, there was procurement within that business that certainly did not fall within the prescripts of the law as it relates to state-owned enterprises. It does not mean there was anything fraudulent about it, Chairperson. I want to categorically put it out there. That we have completely ruled out. It's really a question of a single source procurement, no tax clearance certificates requested, which was their regime of operation prior to them becoming part of a state-owned enterprise. We obviously did the right thing. We applied for an exemption because we preempted this eventuality. But unfortunately, as we closed the books, that exemption from National Treasury had not yet come through, so unfortunately we had to obviously report this particular matter. So that's really what this particular one is related to. On the human resources and transformation side, Chairperson, on this particular one, Chairperson, what our focus is on three major elements. Our focus is on talent management and retention. Our second focus is on leadership development, and thirdly, we focus on the culture within the organization, which also touches to transformative elements. We are very proud, Chairperson, to say out of the 5,114 employees, we created in this financial year jobs in excess of 500 from the previous financial year. Talking to the point that we're relating to previously, that talks to growing the pie and making the necessary contributions to the MDP and obviously our transformative agenda. Our board is extremely uncomfortable and unhappy, Chairperson, with very clear directive to us executives around the equity composition of our employees from male to female. That's an area which we are currently at 24%, as you see in the chair, and we have very clear instructions around this issue that it ought to be aggressively improved. And I refer to some of the initiatives that we are undertaking and some of the targets that which we are looking at to aggressively address that particular issue. If I then get to the following slide, Chairperson, that's relatively referring to the issue I spoke about. 1,227 women in a business that's got 5,114 people. We think it's a sizable number, but certainly from our perspective, from the board's perspective, it's certainly not enough and certainly not representative of the demographics of our society. And that's certainly something that we are definitely addressing. We are addressing it from a pipeline perspective in terms of identifying talent even outside our own environment through our initiatives within the school's environment, within our bursary schemes, and even internally within our own environment in terms of affording opportunities to females to aggressively grow within the corporate ladder in our environment with obviously the necessary support. Chairperson, if I then go to supply chain, This is the second issue, Chairperson, that has been clearly articulated by our board to us that it requires the aggression in terms of transformation that is required. We think we've done relatively well. We've done actually well in terms of our target, 873 million rands spent on black companies that are 51% and above owned by black people, which is relatively a sizable number, which accounts for 29% of the total spend within the business. On black women owned, we are still at 9%. As I referred to that particular issue, the board is certainly uncomfortable. 274 million rands was spent. We spent 60 million rands. We are taking a beating everywhere we go on this particular element that we are not addressing our black youth population well enough, and we are heeding to that call, and we certainly are putting initiatives in place to try and address that quite aggressively. There is, in total, Chairperson, if you look at these numbers, we have spent for the financial year 2015-16 in excess of 3.7 billion rand, and these are the numbers that we spent on these specific groupings, which certainly are far below where they should be, and as I said, we are definitely attending to that. Moving on to the CSI Chairperson, we are very clear in our minds with our STEM program, which talks to science, technology, as well as math, in as far as our initiatives in the various schools within the various provinces that which we are involved in. We heeded to the call that was made in various quarters previously, including this committee, that said you ought to expand your reach not only to Gauteng, Northwest and Mpumalanga, but go to other provinces. In fact, we are now in the Free State, we are in KZN, Eastern Cape as well, we are in the Eastern Cape on this particular program. So we are extending our reach on this particular program. It falls in line with that principle position that I referred to, Chairperson, that says as long as we keep growing the pie, we then have much more resources to even extend our reach in these particular initiatives. We are very proud of this initiative, Chairperson. As recently as my CE was referring to the AED show, we had learners as far out as Eastern Cape, KZN, in partnership with South African Express. We flew those learners into Johannesburg for them to participate in the AAT show, and we'll obviously be making follow-ups with those particular learners to ensure that their excitement and their understanding of the defense industry is nurtured into something that ultimately will be able to utilize within the business. So we are quite excited with those particular initiatives. I think that that concludes our presentation, Chairperson.
Thank you, thank you very much, honorable members. There is a presentation from Danelle. We will now now allow honourable members to interact with both the report and the financial statements 2015-16. I see the hand of Honourable Ranto, and then followed by Honourable Mateis, and then Honourable Lienge, in that order. And Honourable Nopand.
Thank you, Chairperson. I do not have a question as such, Chairperson, but I just want to raise my concern with the 15% representation of women in DINEZ, that when the executive of DINEZ says we see it as a size of a man, my problem, Chairperson, is that they will internalize the name sizable, and that name will become their norm for the what they think it's going to be favorable to them. I don't want them to accept that it's a sizable number. Let them have a program, or tell the committee about a program to develop women so that they are able to have the expected number of women in their entity. The expected women would be 60% and above. 50% is acceptable, but it would be 60% and above. The other concern, Chairperson, is that DINEL is expanding, and DINEL is mentioning provinces where they have expanded, and they don't mention the regions where they have expanded. If it's the whole of the province, it's maybe one child or one employee in the province. I think they should explain better, not just an overall of what they have done in the provinces. And also, my other concern, I know DINEL, working in DINEL is a challenge, because DINEL is working with this army thing. But do you think in all the type of disabilities that are being that we have in the country, you do not have a person in the company, a disabled person that is working in the company, and you do not foresee to have a person that would ever work in the company? Thank you, sir. Can I be apologized? I am wanted in another committee. Can I leave you?
Okay.
Thank you.
Then your question will be answered.
Yes, and I will get it from the committee.
That
thank you.
Danielle works with army things. Need to explain what are those things. Honourable Mateus, you are the next.
Thank you, Chairperson, and I apologize. And my apologies for arriving at that late. It's unfortunate that we've had to get this report, annual report, and we still have not, as a portfolio committee, convened the special meeting that we said that we wanted to have with the Treasury, the external board, and the current DINEL board to deal with all these allegations of corruption. And I note that your annual report is this absence of dealing with any of those matters. But be it as may, this cloud is just going to continue hanging over your board. I mean, we don't know. Are you captured? Are you not captured? We can't convene meetings to be able to deal with it. As a portfolio committee, we have to be able to hold you accountable. And we're not moving, and we're not progressing. And what I'm afraid of is that another one of our most lucrative state enterprises is going to go down the same way as the others, South African Airways and all the others. And if we don't deal with it now, and I'm appealing also to the portfolio committee, that we really push to make sure that we get to the bottom of all these charges and the allegations that Treasury has made. We want the external board. We must be able to deal with that. We're the ones that are presiding over this, the next financial year something will come up, they'll be reporting major losses. So we need to know, and we need that this current Denel board to be able to tell us, how do we know that you're not captured? I mean, we've got, you know what is going on in South Africa. We have looting ANC politicians working along with the Jupiter family who are doing this. So we want to be able to hold you accountable. We want you to be able to avail yourself and answer the questions, clear your name, and let's work. Let's continue growing Denel. Let it be one of our most highly functioning and remain a highly functioning state enterprise. So I think we must take a resolution as a committee to set a date on when we are going to deal with this matter, because we keep on pushing, and it hasn't happened. And we must be able to get the ex-board here, and we'll be able to understand and speak to the report properly. But I am very disappointed that those issues and allegations that is hanging over your head has not been addressed in your financial report, I mean in your annual report. Thank you.
Maybe let me first appreciate the presentation, and in particular the input, the governance in input by the chairperson of the board in relation to the direction that they want to take this organization to, which is a bit clearer than it used to be. Secondly, chairperson, on a fairly and squarely basis, as a portfolio committee, which is not just an extension of parliament, with an obligation and responsibility to ensure that we conduct oversight over departments and the state entities, in particular Denel. We have that responsibility of giving credit where it is due. On the basis of the input and information provided by Denel, I see progress. I don't necessarily rely on hypothetical issues. Hypocrisy is something that I don't believe in. On the basis of what we have received here, I see something that says there is a direction that you are taking and it is positive. A Denel before 1994 and a Denel of today cannot be compared against each other. It's something that you cannot, don't even begin to go there. The shareholder ability to ensure that Denel is where she is today is something that we must give a pat on the shoulder on the shareholder as well. Safe to say, make sure that board, you do not have acting people for a long time. I don't necessarily say retain what you have or formalize what we see, if I've not said. I think it is proper for you to ensure that these acting positions and individuals that are acting there, you know, you make their minds to be sober. You know, when you are in a position that you are not sure whether you are coming or going, it's not good for the progress that one would need. Then the issue that I want to hear most, I think I'm covered to a large extent on matters of transformation, Jefferson, on matters of localization in terms of the supply chain. But I want to particularly hear something that says rural. Where do you locate rural poor communities in your expansion? This is a very big organization with a very huge responsibility, but it is not known. You must do a lot in terms of marketing what Dinel is doing in order to avoid that we come to you with issues that require more investigation. We must know as to where in the Eastern Cape. You know, in South Africa, you must talk Joburg, Durban, and Cape Town. And you tend to forget about even PE. And then when you think Eastern Cape, then you think of PE. No. You must get to the rural part of these provinces. Go to KZN, to the rural KwaNongoma, and do something. Then you will be known. Because that is the majority of voters where you will find. You will find them there. Then maybe before I land, get a person, I would want to maybe get an understanding about the retention strategy. Can you elaborate on the retention strategy? Because the type of work that you are doing, you manufacture, which is the stance of the ANC government to promote industrialization. So if you do that, and I'm not referring to anything that says ANC politicians being corrupt, being thieves and what, that is hypothetical. I don't belong in that league. I'm not going to respond to that. It's something that must be said by people who are watching. But Tina, we are doing, we are there. Then tell us where in particular, the street name and address, so that at my constituency level, I go there. I visit that particular activity, I am part of it. What is your relationship with the SADC customers and also in the continent? Because you need to be prominent much more at home so that the world can be able to see the light that exists in Africa through you because of your global standing as a country. Service providers, how do you assist the emerging service providers in promotion of the localization content in order to ensure that 75% of the local product is utilized by the organization? Mandime
Abo Slalibo. Thank you, Chair. Mine is not really a question, and I think most of the questions that were asked has covered me. It's more on this CSI. Most of our SOEs, when they come, they present all these figures and all these provinces. But like Honorable Luyeng was saying, where exactly in Northwest, where exactly in Mpumalanga? If I'm to go to whether it's my constituency or wherever and try to sell Dinel or to tell people about Dinel, what am I going to say? Where exactly in Northwest did you go? Where in Mpumalanga? And the career exhibitions, where exactly are they happening? And how do you, what criteria do you use in choosing these kids who goes to these exhibitions? And where do you get them? Are they from these, I don't want to call them Model C schools only. Where do we fit in our rural areas within all these initiatives? The other one was on increase in women, but I'm covered today. Thank you, Chair. Honorable Terry.
Chair, let me join my colleague, Honorable Yang, in congratulating Dinel, really. for the good work they're doing, particularly the fact that you managed to achieve the clean audit for 5 consecutive years. I know you are putting more efforts in maintaining that. To me, it's something that we must really commend you for that. Few issues check. One is the issue of the irregular expenditure that you spoke about earlier, that you said you could not correct in one financial year. How long will it take to correct that particular situation? Because I'll appreciate a situation where at some stage this issue need to be corrected. I appreciate the fact that you have managed to put some efforts to try and correct the situation, but we need to be specific exactly how long will it take to achieve that. Honorable Randall spoke about the issue of women representation, and I was mostly interested at representation of women, especially at SMS level. Where are we at executive level? Because 15% that you spoke about earlier seemingly was the overall representation of women. So we'll appreciate if you were to tell us exactly how women are represented at executive level. The fact that you managed to spend 261 million against the capital expenditure of 342 million, which according to my calculations here amounts to 23% under expenditure, it's worrisome as well. It's an issue that we'll have to find a way to correct. What led to this kind of situation? It's unacceptable, because more often people talk about lack of funding, need for more funds, but when there is money, we don't spend. So I'm worried about this 23% under expenditure that has been reported. That has been reported here. I think my colleague spoke about the fact that you are now going to the rural areas, as Honorable Novanda has been saying. I think we appreciate that, and I'm still expecting you to also find space and also visit rural areas in Limpopo as well. People must know the kind of work that you are doing. I appreciate the fact that at least from the report that you have presented, people are starting to see that there is denial, that is operating. I think for now, Chair, let me pause that.
Thank you very much. Let me also pose a question in relation to the decline in revenue in the overbooked test range. Is it related to the explorations you spoke about? Have they started those explorations? And the second one is in relation to the filling of the acting positions. Since the other executives left the company, how long will this process take? And we want to know the finality, because you also mentioned yourself that leadership is critical in Denel. So the sooner we hear when are you formalizing this, the better. Lastly, is in relation to the sale of non-core assets, which happened and around Philip. What was the process to determine the sale of this non-core assets? For now, these are the questions. Over to you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. I will answer the questions as far as wherever I want to answer the question, I
Let me start with the questions from the Honorable Chairperson. The filling of vacancy, the process is underway. The process is underway. We will make an announcement in the near future. As you know, the many people in this country did not have an exposure in the defense industry. And as you know, the short history where we come from, and, it was not an industry where people of color had any role to play. So it's one area where there's a very rare skill. So the board is following all the due processes in order to fill the vacancy. We are very much concerned about the absence of the permanent leadership, but I think one honorable member mentioned about the morale. I think honorable members can see how energized the acting chief executive and the acting CFO, each time they come here, they're full of energy, they're full of ideas. They are very energized. And they understand that all they do, they don't work for positions, they work for the company. And they're doing a good job so far. We will make an announcement in the due course. The board is following the due processes in that regard. With the overbed test range, the acting chief executive and the CFO, they will say more about it. They will explain the decline in revenue on that part. And then the Philip, the disposition of the non-core assets, namely being the Philip land. There was a transaction between Denel and AXA, the airport company of South Africa. The airport company of South Africa approached Denel to say, look, the land is adjacent to my land, and I have got plans to extend the runway going forward. So I want the land. So there was a due process, valuation, and everything. I think the point where I'm not filling all the detail, the acting CFO will fill in the detail. So that transaction was completed. And then coming to, Honorable Matthijs?
Mm-hmm.
I just wish to say the following to you, that Denel has got nothing to hide. Denel has honored every single invitation by the portfolio committee to come and account to any matter, including those relating to processes followed in the establishment of Denel Asia. I think what the CFO, acting CFO, has showed you, he showed you 58% of growth in our export market, which means 58% of revenue is coming from jurisdictions other than the Republic of Ireland. And I'm sure Honorable Matheson, you're also aware that there is a budget constraints in terms of the Department of Defense. Every financial year, the National Treasury reduced the defense budget. It has been being reduced by 15%. As we speak, our Air Force hours of training have been reduced. Our Army hours of training has been reduced because of the reduction of budget. And reduction of budget means that the work that Arms Corps can contract on behalf of the department, our Department of Defense, has been reduced. Which then means the companies, the local companies and the global companies who compete for Arms Corps work, because Arms Corps work, which is DOD work, Department of Defense work, is not reserved for demand. So when that work is tendered, Denel has to compete with any other company, local and the international company, for the Arms Corps DOD work. So that has been seriously reduced. So on the other hand, the country expect us to make sure that our armed forces, sovereign capabilities, are always enhanced and maintained. And that requires that DINEL should better the missile weaponry system. They must, all the weapons that we have, from the strategic independence point of view, sovereignty capability point of view, must always be enhanced. And that requires that DINEL must have money for research and development in order to improve the capabilities. And that cannot be achieved through getting the work from AMSCO or DOD, because there is a reduction of budget. So, which means DINEL has to look to the export market. The strategy to the formation of VR Laser, which, I mean, the formation of DINEL Asia with VR Asia, which you are now alleging that there is corruption, and which I want to put it on record, there is no corruption, because DINEL has never spent a cent in the formation of a joint venture with VR Asia to establish DINEL Asia. Not a single cent from DINEL was spent. And the content of the relationship, as I've already said, the primary driver of that relationship is in order to grow our export market. And that strategy is coming on the back of existing strategies of DINEL, where DINEL has got joint ventures with range of companies to attack different foreign markets. So the 1,000, there's a company in the United Arab Emirates which is called 1,000 Dynamics. 1,000 Dynamics is a joint venture company where DINEL, state-owned company, South Africa, has got 49%, and 1,000, which is a state-owned company owned by the government of United Arab Emirates, has got 51%. So that is one of the example of the partnership that we have. And many other local companies. We have Rheinmetall, which is based in Western Cape. Rheinmetall is a global defense player as well from Germany. We have got a joint venture with them, which is locally based as well. They have, and in the foreign jurisdiction, they have got 51%, we've got 49%. And I think there's a slide in your presentation where the associated companies have been listed, and the companies where we have got joint ventures have been listed. But coming back to explain to Honorable Mateson, so the content of the joint venture relationship with DINEL to form DINEL Asia with VR Asia was that VR Asia would provide 100 million rand in order to capitalize the company. DINEL Asia, I mean VR Asia, will then have a responsibility to set up plans and, you know, the put money for the budget, for the marketing, and all sorts of things. So if you just break it down, DINEL Asia, it's more of a brokerage company. The products are manufactured by DINEL. And the DINEL Asia makes sure that in the foreign market, because maybe to explain, Honorable Chairperson, when you go to foreign markets, they don't want you to come and just sell your product ready-made and made in South Africa. Like us, they want to create jobs in their own countries. They want to deal with poverty in their own countries. They also want economic growth in their own countries. So the requirement is that you must set up a plant. You must assemble and produce some of the items in those jurisdictions. So in terms of the relationship, the joint venture with VR Asia. VR Asia would ensure that those resources are mobilized. They are mobilized so that we can trade in those jurisdictions. And as I speak to you, unfortunately, I think I remember the last time we were called to make a presentation on this matter. I think the honorable member left the house, and unfortunately she missed the detailed presentation on this matter. But a detailed presentation has been given in this matter, also by the Director General in the Office of Department of Public Enterprise, where it was placed on record that the Minister of Public Enterprise did investigate the processes which DINEL formed in the establishment of DINEL Asia. And she came to the conclusion that DINEL followed every single legislation in the process of establishing DINEL Asia, and there was nothing wrong which DINEL has done in the process. Maybe just to give you the major fundamental in the process. On the 29 October 2015, DINEL sent pre-notification to National Treasury and Department of Public Enterprise, indicating its intention to start a process of a forming joint venture with VR Asia to establish DINEL Asia for reasons which I've alluded before. The Minister of Public Enterprise gave an approval for DINEL to embark in that process, however, with a condition. The conditions were fulfilled, and on the 10th of December, DINEL convened a meeting with National Treasury and Department of Public Enterprise. The purpose of that meeting, despite the fact that National Treasury, on the 10th of December, they were not as yet and until today respond to the pre-notification, which was given to them on the 29th of October. The purpose of the meeting of the 10th of December, which DINEL convened with National Treasury and DPE, was in order to find if there were problems in respect of the proposed joint venture. That is number one. Number two, DINEL wanted to express to the National Treasury and DPE that there will be a PFMA application in terms of 54 and 51 to be lodged the following day, and DINEL insisted that there should be agency in treating the matter. And let me tell you why DINEL wants agency. I think I've already indicated to you that there is no reserve work for DINEL in this country and anywhere in the world. In this country, we have to bid for every single cent. So we're not an ESCOM. We're not a Transnet, where certain work is reserved for you. You know that you're going to meet you know, your bottom line because there's work reserved for you. As far as DINEL is concerned, there is no work reserved for DINEL. And as the acting CFO said, he said a business which does not get a financial support from a shareholder have to find mechanism to fund itself. And that's why he pointed at the equity to debt ratio of 1.6, which is not in a good situation. And the reason is the shareholder, being the government, is not funding DINEL. How does then DINEL fund its operation? DINEL has to fund its operation through raising money from commercial banks, commercial papers, and issuing bonds, because the shareholder is not capitalizing the business, and the shareholder does not reserve work for the business. So it's prudent for DINEL board and the management to make sure that when there are business opportunity, there must be aggression. And DINEL cannot afford for 6 months process to get an approval to set up a joint venture, because DINEL compete on commercial footing without any favor and any protection for its business. So that message was sent to National Treasury on the 10th of December and DPE. On the 11th of December, DINEL submitted application in terms of the PFMA to both National Treasury and to DPE. And then at the time when that application was submitted on the 11th of December, there was no comment from National Treasury. And on the 10th, National Treasury did not raise an objection to say, look, it is December time, I cannot deal with this application. So all the parties left the meeting on the basis that the matter was urgent and it will be treated urgent. And why the matter is urgent as well. DINEL has been out of the Asian Pacific market for a very long time. The last time when DINEL was in that market, specifically India, DINEL lost $500 million in marketing cost. And apart from that, DINEL was blacklisted for allegedly using technical advisors or agents who it was alleged that they broke the laws in those countries. So in order for DINEL to avoid all of that, we don't have $500 million to put on the marketing. So we had to have a partner who has got the funds that we can deploy in marketing and who has got the ability to team up with local industrial leaders in India, where instead of using agents and technical advisors, we will use the existing business in order to avoid issues relating to corruption and issues relating to bribery, as we had the problem before. So all those matters were explained to National Treasury and to DPE, and there were no objections. And then, on the 29th of January, DINEL looked at its position in terms of the Section 54 of PFMA, read with Section 51G of the PFMA. The law says, if there is no answer within 30 days, the entity must then, in good faith, presume that the permission is granted. That is the law. It is not what DINEL has wrote. So as we are the country which is governed by the law, not governed by the individual, we then use the deemed provision of the PFMA, which said we had the permission. And therefore, we launched the DINEL action. It was only, I think, on the 15th of February, when then the National Treasury started to write back to us requesting certain information. But that was after the fact. The company had been duly launched. In the last sitting we had in your absence, the minister, through the Director General of DPE, indicated that she is engaging with the Minister of Finance, and until such time that those engagements are concluded, DINEL Asia should not trade. And as we speak, DINEL Asia does not trade because of what the position taken by the Minister of Public Enterprise. And that is hurting us because if you look at the global defense industry, the real growth in the global defense industry is in India, where all the big global companies are concentrating to try to get lucrative contracts. We are out of that market. And as we are out of that market as we speak, the domestic market has shrunk so bad that we cannot survive in it. So our survival really depends on the export market. And if the opportunities in the export market are being denied through some cumbersome process, that is where we invite you as honorable members to say, look, this is the business for the people of South Africa. It's for your defense, and as my acting chief executive officer said, our economy depends on how strong our military is. So our manufacturing, as you know, the DINEL plays a huge part in the development of technology. We have got challenges with the cyber crimes, and DINEL has to deploy its resources to make sure that this country at any time if there's any cyber warfare, any cyber attack to government, there is technology to repel that, as much as we have got missiles to deal with the actual threat. But there are virtual threats which requires that the country must be ready to deal with that. And that can only be achieved if we go and get money from the export market. And that would be achieved by your support, that when we come with the initiative of joint ventures, you don't see corruption, you see business. So we are forming the joint ventures as part of our strategy to grow the export market, and we'll continue to do that. We will do so in a transparent manner. We will always account to you, ready to answer to any question. But obviously, we are asking your support that as much as you read newspapers, but we are at your call, whether you are a ruling party or an opposition party. I think all our numbers are available to anybody. You can call us if you want to come and check records in our office. You're welcome to do so, because this is the company that we have got an honor to run on behalf of the people of South Africa. And as the representative of the people of South Africa, we accept your role to play oversight, but let's play oversight intended to make these companies better. I want to concur with you to say, let's make Denel better. And let's make sure that, you know, even though I don't know what the capture thing is referring to, but I think the facts are very clear. If you actually look at our supply chain, if you look at our supply chain to start with, you see we spent over $3.2 billion for the service providers. And you will check that 278 of those is spent on black-owned companies and the youth. So we still have more than 2 billion rand that is spent to who? To white-owned companies, not to black-owned companies. So if there's any capture of Denel at all, it means Denel is captured by the past. Denel is captured by the white companies who still get more than half of our supply chain expenditure. Something that is unacceptable, something that does not drive transformation, something that does not drive the economic growth. I invite you to support us, to try to change the status quo. And we can do that, as my acting chief executive CFO said, the pie must grow. And how do you grow the pie? You cannot grow it in South Africa, you must grow it somewhere else. And when you go outside, you need the resources. I think the picture that we have painted here, look at our net profit. Our net profit is not enough to even cover our local operations. Our net profit out of the 8.2 billion revenue, it's over 400 million. And that should tell you something. What is eating that net profit? The acting CFO told you of over 300 million bank charges that we pay for the loans. So there are so many things that are eating our gross profit. And as we speak, the revenue cannot sustain our local operation, let alone international operation. Then there must be an answer. And to us, the answer is to form these joint ventures. The answer is Denel Asia and many other joint ventures that we've formed. And we invite you to actually help us in that manner. The accusation that you're referring to by National Treasury, I really don't want to talk for the National Treasury. I think, you know, you as honorable members, you can always talk to them. But I just want to conclude answering you that we are available to talk to you at any time.
Listen, I think we are done. Yeah, I think you are done. Honorable Madis, the capture is explained.
I have a rebuttal venture. Just a very short one.
It's a short one.
Mm-hmm.
So you still want to be
answered fully.
Mm-hmm. Well, not necessarily fully, but it's quite short and we don't have to get too much.
Okay. The fact that the company which you have a joint venture with is not trading now.
Mm-hmm.
I think let's park it there. Because there are no transactions, there are no trading. There's no trading. So it means the capture has failed if it existed or is not existing. Can I allow other honorable members to raise some questions? But as he explained, oh, there are still answers, yes. But as he explained, let's allow honorable members to interact with them individually so that we get to the bottom of this. Because to be honest, we were worried about you being captured.
No.
We don't like it and we don't want to hear it. To say, if you are captured, then, which means we're in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
So if you reassure us here that you are not captured, that is something else. But we'll keep our eyes open on you because we don't want you to be captured.
The facts speak for themselves, Chair. We are not captured. Just to be precise to the point, the alleged company or the fund,
there's a contract which was signed between Dinel and VR South Africa. That contract was signed 2013, none of these executives were active. I was not the board chair. I only came last year. So that contract was signed by Dinel on the insistence of, one, the company called Patria and the United Nations. It was signed because Dinel was appointed by AMSCO to build a project, WESTA. WESTA is a sophisticated military vehicle which can launch a missile, which can launch mortars, which can launch number of weapons. So in the process of developing that product, Patria, which owns some original manufacturer parts which have been used in that WESTA, then they said, as far as the steel cutting fabrication, the company that we have certified in South Africa, Patria is a Scandinavian company. It's VR. Therefore, VR was given only 400 million worth of work. And in that 400 million of work, it's for a duration of 10 years. I think members can divide and see annually how much in aggregate VR makes out of the WESTA project. With the United Nations, the one of our company, which is LMT, developed a vehicle for the United Nations, and they still cracked. And the United Nations returned the cars with an instruction to say, look, VR must do the steel fabrication on our car, because we have worked with them before and they are expert in the field. I think member must also know that VR, it's a company which has been established long time ago. It was white owned. It was white owned until the current shareholders bought a stake in that company. Then it became a black owned. But as we have showed you the numbers here, you could see that if there's any capture at all by this VR laser South Africa, they are within that 278 spent allocated for the great company because they're not the right company. So I think the facts are talking for themselves about the capture. The figures are saying Dinel is doing most of its business with what company? That is what the facts are saying to you. More than half. And as far as the leadership is concerned, the leadership of Dinel
has nothing that is suggesting any capture. The presentation are clear based on the facts. So the narrative of capture, which is very fashionable in this country, so we're not in that space. We're just running a company on your behalf and on behalf of the people you represent. But we are working for you. We're working for the people of South Africa. And it is not a captured by anybody.
Honourable members, I think that concludes this debate. Not concluded because it's an ongoing, and you will understand why honourable members are worried about the capture, because there's so much corruption. So it's within their right to raise all these questions for clarity. Can we proceed and allow the executive to answer the follow-up questions?
Thank you, Honourable Chair. I will answer some, and then my group CFO acting will answer some questions. The issue of women that we currently are standing at 15%, it is true that it's very low. We are very clear that, in fact, we have seen globally that women in defense industry, because most of them are scientists and whatever, they play a pivotal role, especially in development and R&D. We're aiming at 40% going forward, and we've been instructed by the board that we should increase that number. So we will increase the number. In fact, the suggestion from Honorable Randa to be about 60% plus. We will look at that. So we do admit it is low, and we are moving forward. And we do not want to put excuses why it's low. It's been low, and it's one of the areas whereby we are concentrating. The other matter has to do with the expanding of the company. The company, as my chairman indicated, is a trading company. It's a business. It's a manufacturing company. However, it has responsibilities in terms of civil society in South Africa. So we need to expand in the market globally and increase our revenue, and at the same time look at our responsibilities and make the company to be an acceptable and a company that plays a critical role in the expansion in South Africa, including the rural areas, especially the rural areas. The Honorable Lienge was really appreciate your words in terms of that you see progress in the positive direction of the company. And you also said that the shareholder should also really take that into cognizance, and you really put some good words for that. The rural areas, it's one of our target areas in terms of our national duty. The CSI projects, the PR projects are currently concentrating in those areas. And we have a limited spend, as the chair has shown, that most of our monies actually go to the banks or to pay interest. So if we can be able to eliminate that, we can be able to spend more on rural areas. Which communities? I think that was Honorable Novanda. We in Mpumalanga, we have done projects. I think the PR executive will be able to explain exactly which part of that. The career exhibitions we do frequently in universities. We do in high schools. And also we do on any public platform whereby there is a show or something like that. And we go all over the country and do that. Recently, the one that was very successful was done at Umtata at the defense base, at the military base. It was very, very successful. But we also did another one, if I remember, in Kakani, in the East area, and it was very, very, very successful. And the youngsters were very excited to see what we were doing. The criteria, how do we choose that? Partly, it's fulfillment of our shareholder compact, whereby we have to contract to say that for this year it is important for us to be able to achieve certain number of exposure of Denel in certain areas, and we partly is that, and partly of course is to make sure that we have a strategy of infusing the concept and the direction of Denel and the issue and the use and the national contribution of Denel to the people of South Africa. So it is not one, it's a multi-pronged strategy in different areas, and we are mostly guided by PR and communications in that area. Retention strategy, it is very important for us to make sure that Denel does not falter or capitulate in future, whereby you find that we are only now running buildings and we don't have people inside. And that is a danger which we have seen. Recently, we visited a country whereby we found many Denel members are working in that country. And it is a matter which we are addressing very aggressively. We have about, as we are increasing the youth in Denel and we are giving them serious responsibilities. In fact, some of them have proven beyond our expectations, whereby after they have designed some systems, and those systems have become the best in the world. And these are done by the young people. What is important in Denel is experience in working in this type of equipment. Not necessarily, your degree is very important, but working there and get the experience is very important. And it has to reflect the demographics of the country. If it does not, then Denel will fall. It's a matter of time. So we are very aggressively pushing that. In any country where you go, you would find that a company like this reflects the demographics of the country, because that's the core of the business, and that's where the business will be staying, will be contained in. So it's very, very important for us to be able to get black young women, black young men, black people to be involved in Denel in a big way. We have about 60% currently in Denel in terms of statistics, but they are not sitting in the right positions. In terms of positioning, about 24% of management, I'm talking executive, middle management, and entry management, is about 24-25%, and we want to improve that number. SADC customers, we are in SADC, but there's huge competition in SADC. And SADC, in some of the countries in SADC, they have a philosophy slightly different to South Africa, in the sense that you do not want to know your next-door neighbor what type of systems you have. So we find that in some markets in SADC, you know, we struggle a bit. But in the end, for simple commodities, they buy, because if you buy a bullet, it's a bullet, it's a bullet. But on certain strategic equipment, you would find that they would not want us to know where they're buying from. But in the end, we know, and we have the systems, and we've been trying to enter some of the markets. But some of the markets, we have been very, very successful in starting. And it's true that localization is very important. You do not want to depend on other countries in terms of being able to do your products, which currently we are. And that is a hindrance to some of us being able to sell markets which have very good relationships with South Africa. So we are improving it, and we are trying to get as many as localized suppliers in the core, and we're doing what we call matchmaking, whereby you would find some of the experts in those areas previously were whites, but we do matchmaking and try and get the Africans and other people and other part of the society to be involved. So we're trying to improve that at least 75% going forward should be localized. And then the irregular expenditure, clean audit, I've spoken about the women representation. I think the Offerberg test range, they have started. It is a matter whereby the executive of the test range is reporting every week. But it hasn't gone to an extent whereby it is disturbing our tests at this point in time. Also, the business in Offerberg is that it's cyclical, and it depends largely on export. If South Africa has good contracts, then it will increase. Currently, some of the tests we are doing there, but also we are doing in other places, whereby you need a longer range. But any flight test and anything that flies, we go and test it there. But up till now, there has not been a complaint that we have dropped something in an area which is dangerous at this point in time. But they have started doing the exploration. I won't talk about the acting position.
Cyclical, do you mean, what does that mean?
Cyclical in the sense that a country will have to develop a system, and sometimes they do not want to test the system in their environment. Like countries like, even in Singapore, and for strategic reasons, they would not want to do that. They would want to do it at a secret place, whereby it's far away from that, and then they'll come and do it here. But they have to develop it first. So that development may take 3 or 4 years. Yes. And then you'll find then the sales go up, and then they like that.
So it's seasonal in our...
Yes.
Civilian language.
Yes, yes, yes.
Acting CEO, if you can just maybe not do details because of time, we'll really appreciate.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I will rush quickly through just a few questions that have not been answered yet. I think the first one, Chairperson, which is just a point of correction on Honourable Member Ranto's question around this female representation. We are not happy with where we are, but the facts are to date we are at 35%, not 15%. I just wanted to correct that. We are at 35%, and we are. The target is to get to 40, and obviously, as my CE that we'll be looking at extending that beyond. The question...
But on that one, do you do something extraordinary to attract women in this space? Because it's predominantly, historically, it was for men. Yeah, so you need to do something you must attract them.
You are spot on, Chairperson. I think, and that's the conversations we are having within the business. I'd say, if we're going to have an opening, a vacancy, and send out invitations for applications as usual, we're always going to get an answer that says there is no females that are responding. Some of the initiatives that we are discussing within the business is, as an example, setting up a research unit that identifies our critical skills that are required within the business, goes to the market to identify those individuals before we even have an opening of vacancy. So pretty much a head-hunting unit that identifies these individuals that match the type of skills that we are doing. That when we get the vacancies, we are actually going to those individuals instead of sending something out and whatever it is that we get. So there's certain initiatives certainly that we are engaged in internally to look at those particular issues. There was a question, Chair, that was looking at people with disabilities within our business, and I just wanted to put it out there that it might not have come out quite clearly in our presentation. We have specific designated groups that which we are targeting within the business. One of those is obviously young people, women, which we obviously reported quite extensively around, veterans, which are obviously very close to us as a business, as well as people with disability, both in as far as employment opportunities as well as supply chain opportunities. And in the supply chain opportunities, as the Chairperson rightfully pointed out, we have a long way to go in that transformation space. In fact, we have started an initiative now of breaking our procurement into two areas broadly. Area number one is those services that are technical and specific to to the engineering processes that we are involved in. And the second grouping is those services that we refer to as commodities, so we are buying things. So those are not core to DINEL's key expertise. And we're looking at those two, and we identified in the lower quadrant, which is the commodity type of business, which we would expect should easily be at about 60-70% in terms of black-owned businesses participating. We are currently sitting at about 30% in that particular. So we are looking at aggressively transforming that space, looking specifically at those key designated groupings. And obviously at the more technical element of our procurement, we are looking at alternative approaches to open up opportunities for black players in those environments. So those are the areas that we are targeting. We are definitely not ignoring people with disabilities. They are core to what we are aiming at addressing. There was a question around this irregular expenditure around, note has been taken around the fact that, we apply for exemption, there's initiatives that have been put in place, but when will we have sorted out the issues? In our application to National Treasury, we were very clear, Honourable Member saying there, that by March 2016, all these processes would have been put in place, and we will then be able to turn the situation around. So that is what actually in actual fact is happening on the ground. 2016. So the report we are putting here is for the year that started 2015 April to 2016 March. We made that application round about November, December 2015, where we said by March 2016 we will have implemented the processes. So this report is in relation to that. So that talks to that. And on the expenditure, or shall I call it investment, into CAPEX investment into... This question around our investment on innovation, investment on CAPEX, is a question whose answer, Honourable Member, is a bit of a pregnant answer, if I may use a proverbial statement like that. And that answer is talking to the question of DINEL's liquidity position. So we sit in a position where we have an aggressively growing business, funding that can only come from one source, and that source is commercial banks, which ideally you would have loved to have a combination of external funding through commercial banks and alternative sources of funding, as well as shareholder funding to balance off your debt equity ratio. But obviously there's nothing coming from that front. And within the banking environment, on the basis of the strength of our balance sheet, we have reached a ceiling of what we can really borrow. So liquidity within the business then is a function of really, literally, limited resource that must be applied in competing areas within the business. And obviously, always, area number one will always be put money in your working capital to turn your production and deliver to your customer, with the idea that as you do that, you then get some money that which you can deploy to all these other initiatives. So we are working within the business, trying to juggle and prioritize within this environment. And that is a big issue in our space as we speak today, that we are severely underfunded, and the little we have to almost decide on a priority basis what we must do. And that's why you end up finding a typical example on CSI. On CSI, we are challenged on a daily basis that all we do is to get to ticking the box in terms of what the transformative piece of legislation is talking to, which is I think about 3% of the of net profit. That's what we do. But the challenge we are getting is you ought to do more, and we agree. We shouldn't be doing just to the 3%. We should be doing more, and that's what we are trying to do, is to invest into converting the working capital, which will give us cash back. But that cash back is only in a 2-year period from today, that which we'll be getting. So as we sit here today, we are sort of sitting with this little pot of money that we have to prioritize, with the view that as we get the cash back from our customer, we will then be able to disseminate that cash into all these other very important priorities, which today, unfortunately, we have to ration. So that's where the position is at with that particular one. I think the Philippi side, the chairperson touched on this particular one correctly. So this is in line with this conversation that I've just had, chairperson. This is part of an area which we are extensively working through within the business that says what assets within our portfolio are sitting there not sweating for the business, and we ought to take strategic decisions around those assets. The chairperson was correct. We had a very lucrative offer from AXA in as far as the Philippi side, and that Philippi side was definitely not in our plans at all in terms of utilization internally. So all it was doing essentially was growing grass, cutting the grass, employing securities to look after the site, because obviously there were people that were, as we understand the issues within our country, moving into that space on an illegal basis. So it was actually becoming more of an administrative position than really sweating for what we really need. And we are looking at all our other assets in the same light to identify what it is that is part of our plans as we go forward, and what it is that we can exploit to extract value that will help us today. But obviously we do that in line with the approval regime, PFMA, the Act itself, through to our shareholder department. So we don't take those decisions on our own as individuals within Dinero. We run through the board into the shareholder environment. So that's typically the processes that we follow. And I think that covers the two questions that I put them up there. Whether that trust check has been
taken. Honourable Stanley. Madam Chair, I just want to find out if I'm the only person who's answering, who's asking questions this round. Can I, through you, have a little bit of a back and forth? Because there's some questions I might not have to ask if I get the certain clarity. Would you mind that?
Yeah, mindful of time.
Yes, ma'am.
Please.
First of all, I just wanted to know on which date you received the invitation from Parliament to attend this meeting. And was anyone at any stage in contact with you with regards to the changing of today's meeting? I just need clarity on that first.
Answer, Jefferson.
Yes, sir.
The invitation I sent to the department, so I think that question can be answered.
No, but when were you informed?
I think you can ask that.
No, but you can answer that that the department forwarded this on this date, and I think it's not a complicated thing. Or the department you went from?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Our parliamentary liaison officer is seated here, so I'm sure you can answer those questions.
Chair.
Yes,
I want to support you, Madam Chair. It's a very basic question. Surely the chairperson knew on what date his secretary, personal assistant, chief of staff informed him that he needed to be at a meeting on a particular day.
I just want to know the date that he was informed that he needed to attend this meeting and whether he was notified or approached for any change in the scheduled meeting.
Yeah, I think you can answer that, Chair, because my understanding, I was just confirming it with the sign here, is us who send you the program that through the department, these are the days we'll be meeting the SOEs. Yeah, and the department shared with yourself. So it's us who set the meetings through the department.
Well, correctly, Chair, we, as you pointed out, it's your problem, it's not our problem. I cannot offhand tell you when I got the information.
Okay.
That I cannot really say.
Okay, Madam Chair, would the chairperson be able to give an estimate, whether it was 2 weeks ago, a month ago, a year ago?
Unfortunately not. Sorry, Chair.
And, Chair, I just want to say one more thing that concerns me somewhat, is the chairperson's response, these are not my meetings, these are your meetings. Excuse me, chairperson, through you, but you account to the South African people, and we are elected by the South African people to perform oversight and pass legislation. So, please, respectfully, don't tell this committee that our meetings are not your meetings. That's a statement. I'll move on to my next question. How many offices does VR Laser Asia presently have? Is it just the one office in Hong Kong?
I'm sorry.
Honorable
Teddy,
I haven't recognized you. You want to be recognized?
Can I recognize?
Okay.
I have a bit of a challenge with this approach already. I doubt it will take us anywhere. If the honorable member got specific questions,
I do,
that she wants to raise to the chairperson of the board,
no,
or
everyone,
it's fine. Can they have another session outside this room? Because I'm worried, because outside this meeting, immediately after they have left, we have other issues that we need to deal with, which are equally important, and we need to do justice to the rest of the issues, including the BRRR, and I'm afraid we might not do justice. So with this approach, can I suggest that they have another session outside this one and engage,
okay,
because some of these issues raising, they have got absolutely nothing to do with us here. Can they have another session outside this forum and deal with this one-to-one interaction? It's not assisting this meeting, really. I'm afraid, Honorable Chair.
I'm sure you've made your point.
Chairperson, can I request you, with due respect, it's 11:45 now.
Okay.
If maybe the questions you have, you can forward them to the secretary.
No, it's fine.
So that
I'll,
he can
I'll
formally
okay.
Forward them to them so that they can, in the next meeting, we'll be having them written. I think it's better in that way.
Okay, I did have very important questions about our maritime sovereignty, taking into consideration that there is only one serviceable Dakota available at any one stage, and we know that we've had Chinese vessels coming into our marine space, and does Danelle have any plans to develop technology that will be able to detect these vessels even when they turn their monitoring stations off, etc.? So our capacity to protect our sovereign ocean space, patrols, as well as the ocean's economy. because that's going to be a very, very important part of the ocean's economy. Then with regards to Kwane Capital, a very dodgy business that under its previous name was taken to court twice by Eastern Cape municipalities, and President Zuma announced very publicly a month before you courted them to buy the 49% holding in LMT Holdings. I just wanted to know, and funnily enough, LMT Holdings is the manufacturer of the rooster, that you've just been speaking about.
I know, correction, not. The rooster is being driven by the Dinel Land System, not LMT.
I don't understand that. Are you adhering to my request of sending the question to Tisam so that he can...
Unfortunately, Chair, number one, the BRRR is not supposed to appear before this committee as we have not finished engaging with all of the entities. How can we even consider a BRRR without having seen Alex Kaur? That was agreed, with all due respect, because you weren't here and this is not your fault. But it was agreed by this committee in September that we would A, change the meeting of this date to next week, and secondly, that the BRRR would only be considered after Alex Kaur has been before this meeting. It is an injustice, not your fault, but this was agreed by the committee, and then for some or other reason, things have remained the same.
But let's allow them to finish so that we deal with the committee issues.
Okay, but Madam Chair, with all due respect, I too am an elected representative of the South African people, and I have got questions. I haven't had a turn. I would like to get through them now, because I would propose that we should all take the BRRR and put that in a separate meeting, because I believe our oversight over Denel is more important than a BRRR report that we will not be able to finalize today anyway, because we will still need to engage Alex Kaur next week. So I'm asking for the opportunity to wrap up my questions. Thank you, Chair.
Sam will explain the processes of the BRRR, and I hope the chief whips of all parties have also explained to their members, but this is not meant for Denel now. We like them to wrap up so that we can excuse them and remain deal with our issues.
Okay.
Don't you think my suggestion was the better one to say, because there are many, you forward them to Sam so that we deal with them not in a hurry form, because it's almost 12 now.
Madam Chair, I have not had an opportunity to engage with this entity.
It's not the last time you'll be engaging with them.
It will be the next time until Jesus comes.
Honorable Chair, can I be recognized and compassionate? In fact, you are pleading with the honorable member to forward the questions to the chairperson so that those questions can be answered to her. And this, some of the issues that she's raising, they have absolutely nothing to do with the rest of the members here. And I have a problem.
It's got to do with the annual report.
Yes. She's insisting that she still has got questions, but we are saying we've got still other agenda items
we
to deal
be
with.
On the agenda items.
Besides questions on the agenda, we have other meetings
and
now at 12.
Whose problem is that?
Yeah.
Programming.
Yeah.
Honourable members, let me allow the chairperson and his team to wrap up.
and this is that we, I think all the answer, the questions are being answered except her questions, which I requested that they will be forwarded to the SAM for the benefit of all committee members. They will be answered in the same forum, not for particular to her as an individual. So, with due respect, what I was to say, let me just allow them to wrap up so that we proceed. Chair?
Thank you, Chairperson. I think the two questions you raised, if we can answer
Let's
them.
Allow her to say.
Madam Chair, in order to save time, I will submit all of my questions through DeSang. And to take up the time that that they would have responded, I just want to say the following. That you guys are still using state guarantees, okay? And you've been giving us a sub-story today about relying on borrowing and pointing out the debt ratio going the wrong way. The fact is that you should be a profitable company. And basically, if Danel put its money into a money market account, it would get a better return on investment than it currently is getting. It's currently getting a 2% return on investment, and I know many markets that will offer above 8%. So the fact is that we're not saying that you need to be pre-1994 Danel. God help us, we never want anything pre-1994. But at the same time, we expect things to be done right. And they say, Madam Chairperson, that a fish rots from the head down. And right now, everything stinks. With the current environment of state capture. Yes, we can all make those sounds. Because it is absolutely illogical to enter into an agreement with a company that has one shareholder, a completely new company. And the chairperson mentioned earlier about Turner and Townsend. They have 90 offices in 59 countries, including India. And the reason for my concern, Madam Chair, is also the PFMA, because despite the clauses quoted there, there are others that say as soon as a public entity takes on debt or engages in foreign ventures, then it is an automatic requirement. It's not, nowhere did it say if Treasury doesn't respond, it's fine. Nowhere. I've got it in front of me here. So, and we know that in the documents submitted by Minister Pravin Gordhan, in response to that particular case, there is a letter in there saying that the South African Reserve Bank is investigating this based on foreign exchange controls. Now, these are the things they're complaining about. Profitability, they're complaining about having to borrow shim. These are issues that affect the annual report. They affect the annual report. And you know what? We know. And you know. We know. Because with the current situation, fish rots from the head down. The president of this country is involved in whatever it is, and it is illogical and unreasonable for you to think it's okay to deal with companies like VR Laser and Kwane Capital under the present circumstances. So if your consciences are clear, that is fine. But if they are not, please do the right thing.
Thank you, Honourable Stander. I think Bazwile, your concerns, and let's allow them to wrap up so that we remain and deal with other issues. Chair? Honourable, allow me to suppress you so that Chair can please.
Thank you, Chairperson. We'll be very quick. thank you, Honourable Stander. Maritime, we have started the Maritime Division. The Maritime Division, the strategic objective is to make sure that we have sovereign capabilities to protect our maritime. So we have got Denel Maritime and Integrated System is doing its hard work. It has already bidded for two big projects from our Navy, which is Project Hotel and Project Bureau. We have been awarded a few months ago to manage and maintain our dockyard in the Simmons Town. So yes, we are moving on that, and your support in that regard, that this division, which is very new, can actually do more to protect our ocean economy, is welcome. So we are with you there. On the question of Kwale Capital, the CFO will just touch it quickly, but I want to say to you that the 49% that has been reported in the newspaper is not Denel's stake. LMT, Denel bought into LMT and it bought 51%. 49% is divided between the two shareholders. Management, the people who started LMT, have got 20% in that business. And you have got a black empowerment company called Pamozi. Pamozi has got 30% of that business. The shareholder of Pamozi, they sold their 30% to Kwale Capital, and the shareholder, the management who started the company, sold their shareholder to Kwale Capital. It has got nothing to do with us. It is not the Denel share. No ways. It is not our share. The issues relating to the investigation by the special unit, when it became public, it became a matter of serious concern to us, and Denel immediately engaged to investigate the matter through a due diligence process, which is still underway, because we wouldn't want to partner people who are under investigation for serious corruption or misconduct. So that process is underway. As far as the government guarantee is concerned, it's actually 1.8 billion. My chief executive, acting chief executive, said we spend every month, we have to have 500 million. So in 3 months' time, you are over 1.8 billion. And the 1.8 billion guaranteed by National Treasury expires in 2020. They've extended it, I think. But 2017, that Denel must reduce it by 650. But what that guarantee does, it simply say we will stand in for Denel for this show. But I think you're probably aware that I think in a matter of 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago, the Reserve Bank issued the notices to the bank to say, look, the guarantees should not make you not to consider the business or liquidity issues relating to the state-owned companies. So it shouldn't be a protection. So our borrowings, as we indicated in the financial report, it's by far more than 1.8 billion. So I think in all the state-owned companies with guarantee, we're probably the one state company with the least guarantee, which is only 1.8 billion. And as the acting chief executive and CEO said, this business is not being capitalized or recapitalized by a shareholder, which is government. So in that event, I challenge you as a member of parliament to say, look, we've got this business. At the moment, it's working hard, revenues are coming, profit is coming. However, the net profit becomes so meager that it cannot fund the operations of the business. What kind of regime should we suggest as members of parliament in order to have this business growing? And that is the challenge we leave you with, to say, join us to make sure that Denel cannot always be funded by commercial banks. As the CFO said, we are almost reaching that ceiling.
So I think through the chairperson, I think we invite you for an engagement on individual basis. You can visit our offices. You can write questions. We're here for you to engage.
I think on that one, the shareholder must really play a part, because it's not only you, even Transnet. They can only borrow from the commercial bank, and yet we fund, we have the PICs of this world, we have the, who can fund this project? I think on that note, we really appreciate your input and your interaction, and we thank you very much, and we'll meet in the next year. Have a nice Christmas, and enjoy your holidays with your families, but please don't allow the nail to be kept. That's all, please. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your leadership throughout our meeting.
I just wanted to add on this Reserve Bank element, in that as part of the due processes we followed in establishing that business, part of that was actually to make an application to the Reserve Bank as part of their control regime for the foreign investment that we were making. And we have that approval from the Reserve Bank in our fund. So we are not aware of any investigation, because we actually have approval from the Reserve Bank.
Okay, thank you very much, and fly safely. Honourable members, we have two issues to deal with quickly. We have the minutes of that previous meeting of the... The minutes of the 11th October 2016, because they were forwarded to us earlier on. I think we have noted if there are any corrections. Let's look into the recommendations. If there are no issues in relation to resolutions, can we ask for a seconder? Honorable Yenge, you do? Seconded by who? Honorable Nopanda, thank you very much. The minutes are adopted. Can we go to the BRRR issue? I would like Sam to take us through the administrative processes of this exercise so that we don't waste much time.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Chairperson, the BRRR is part of the process of the budgetary review of that the minister will be doing. For the past 4 years, we've been doing this thing, but the time frame for it is too tight. It's 2 weeks, because we're expected to get the annual report of the department, the auditor general, but for all these years, we have never been able to... We're not expected to actually meet all the entities per se, because we have never done it as a portfolio committee. But it's impossible, because the entities are too big. And the time frame that is there for the report is only 2 weeks that Parliament has this thing. So we're expected to have a report by the time that MTPPS is adopted. In fact, the report from the House, by the time the two committees of the Finance Committee put a report to the House, our report should have been long adopted. They say actually by the 26th, which is today. And by that time, at the time we had 9 companies, even SAA was there. So we could only do 2 or 3 before the BRRR could finish. But the department's annual report also covers the financial performance of all companies, even the Auditor General reports on all the financial performance of all of them. So hence, they are all captured. The researcher and the content advisor have assisted in terms of the analysis of the annual report. So what is in the content of the report is the analysis of what has been presented to us in the annual report of the department, and the state-owned companies that have come here, like Eskom, Transnet, that have been there, that have already been here, like Sasco. So, and also what AG has reported in terms of the audit findings, the controls that needs to be measured. So that's how the report has been thing. So it's based on what has been thing. And then we've also made suggested recommendations for the committee. Some recommendations are recommendations that were there last year. You'll find that the department might not have implemented them. Some of them are ongoing. So that is what we have there as recommendations.
Here we are, honourable members. I think critical to the whole report for the committee is the AG's report of all the entities, the analysis of what have they done with the monies which were allocated to them, and also the department itself. Let's engage on the recommendations and get some input on that.
Members, maybe is it possible if do I have to go to all the recommendations, like each one, and then you just say if I must remove that one or amend it?
No, because we have read them. I think they must, honourable members, they must raise hands, maybe 9.1.1 or whatever, and then we deal with those issues. Any inputs on recommendations? I think if there's none, let's just adopt the BRRR. Honorable Sadie?
Just two issues. One will just be a comment, not necessarily an issue. If you look at the page 7, the summary of the previous BRRR, I want to start with the recommendation, with the comment. Because you see, the BRRR is not necessarily for compliance purposes. We should then be able to have a mechanism through which we are then able to track progress with regard to the implementation of this issue. Going through the previous BRRR, I can pick up a few issues that, even if they were here, they can't produce evidence to suggest that these things have been attended. I can just start with your 3.1.6, provide committee with shareholder compact, and here the issue that we have always been talking about for years and years. I don't know how many times we've raised this issue.
Is there in the recommendation?
Yes. But I'm saying, it's coming now, this issue, because I'm raising it because it's coming from the previous BRRR last year. We still don't have this shareholder compact even now. So it goes back to the issue that we have always been raising, I think, of the absence of the minister as well. Because some of these issues need to be handled at the level. At some stage, the minister even committed that indeed this shareholder compact will be provided to members, so that we know exactly what is it that we are oversighting ourselves. We can't oversight something that we don't have. It's really unfair. But I want to start by reiterating what we've always been saying, Honorable Chair, that if it means we are aware Wednesday is the cabinet day, if it means rearranging a program in such a way that at least once a month we have a session where the minister will be able to come and assist us in terms of dealing with some of the issues in the department, let it be so. Because the practice, another must understand, is that every time the department is here, it should be led by the political head with the minutes. Hence, we have this kind of challenge. The first one is just a comment. The last one, Chair, is I will appreciate if there is a recommendation that comes to the other expenditure. I don't see it, sir.
An expenditure in the department?
Yes. I will appreciate if there is a recommendation that addresses the other expenditure. The report says 17 point something. Yeah. So I will appreciate if there is a recommendation that addresses that recommendation, that observation of the other expenditure in the department. Because it can't be right that we give people money and money is not spent while our people need the services outside here. It's not fair to our people who send us to this institution. Thanks.
Under expenditure has been noted. Any other omission? Honorable Mathis?
Thank you, Chair. I think sometimes in some of these recommendations we must put timelines. For example, 9.1.14, it says ensure that vacancies in the department are filled. And I'm sure next year we'll have the same thing. So we must start, and I think speaking to that, we must put time frames and let them know that. I think we must also note the absence, and I agree, of the public enterprise minister here. Because it's very hard for us to engage and we can't engage. I mean, we had the board here, they say the enterprise minister has stopped operations of Denel, but we can't question it. We don't know why, who's losing out on money and what the consequences of that are. So yeah, I agree, and I think you covered me on one of the other issues. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The issue of time frames must also be reflected on the BRRR. Basically, I just have a problem because we're just doing this for compliance. We are not doing justice to the whole thing. So we need to, maybe at a later stage, just discuss how should we deal with this BRRR thing, because to me it doesn't make sense. Because you recommend, as you say, these recommendations, they will be shared up until the next BRRR exercise. Yeah. So we need to have a way of making sure the BRRR exercise address what is supposed to address and be effective. So for now, our hands are, we are doing this knowing very clearly to say it's just for compliance, because we are given 2 weeks, which is not enough. Some of the entities, we have so much to interrogate, but we can't do that in 2 weeks. So I agree with members, those who made the inputs will be captured and the new copy will be sent to members accordingly. Any other thing? Any other issue?
Maybe Robert, yeah. Chair, just to commit the department, why don't we have a recommendation which say once a month, we need progress on the implementation of this recommendation. Something like that. Over and above the performance report that they bring here on quarterly basis. Just a separate progress report on the implementation of the BRRR.
That's the time frame like Honorable Mathis spoke about.
Yeah.
We can't just talk. We need time frames to say by this time, so this time you'll be able to work it out so that we track these things when we come in the next term. Honourable members, can I take this opportunity to thank you very much for the engagements and do we adopt, I would request for the mover. Honourable Yenger?
I move for the adoption of the...
Honourable Tedi seconded. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Seconded.
We are rushing to other meetings, eh?
You know, you've got to
We
know
that.
You must not allow that.
We know.
So, guys,
okay,
guys, fine. See you.
Bye bye.
See you.
Bye bye.
See you.
But they don't know.
Yeah.
And they sit there and they lie to us with straight faces.
No, we're together.
Young is not police here. With your heels, you have to go say. You must have, don't worry,
in the
and yourself too must have. You always have food and take it, so you are covered.
I can't. I know how it has. This is my phone. Yeah.
Do you
have words?